Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Market, the podcast that gives you essential news, data and analysis from around the globe. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're finding out what US corporates are doing when it comes to pruning their portfolios and the impact that tariffs are potentially having. I'm joined by Rachel Stone, who is the Charlottesville Bureau Chief. Hi, Rachel. Thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, Juliana. Thanks so much for having me.
So to begin with, could you give us an idea of the backdrop for carve-outs in the US before Donald Trump took office in January?
Yes, absolutely. So before Donald Trump took office, and not just in divestitures, but kind of M&A overall, was expected to ramp up toward the end of 2024, heading into 2025. We think people were pretty optimistic about expectations for this year. But of course, as I'm sure we'll get into, the tariff-related economic uncertainty is now causing some upheaval across the board in M&A and potentially in carve-outs as well.
Okay, so can we now look at that situation since January? What are companies doing? The situation around tariffs, the news changes pretty quickly. Has that prompted companies to review their portfolios, or are they in wait and see mode for the time being?
It's a great question. And I think that there's a yes and a no component to it. So from the standpoint of potentially there being more corporate divestiture activity, the shifting supply chains and evolving customer channels are actually encouraging companies to redefine their core operations, which could in turn increase the number of divestitures once considered core to businesses that companies now will consider selling those assets. But then on the flip side, as you said, the uncertainty just around everything going on with tariffs and maybe skepticism around the pause in the US, a lot of companies are in a quote wait and see type of mode. And carve-outs in particular can be impacted pretty heavily by that type of environment because buyers need to assess exposure to tariffs across the supply chain. That requires more time, more resources. It complicates things like valuation because of exposure to tariffs actually now need to be priced in. Then on the legal side, there's delays perhaps in that agreements now need to explicitly account for tariff implications. So there is this secondary component as well that could slow down divestitures at the same time as more companies might actually be reviewing their asset portfolios.
And I guess if sellers are in wait and see mode, that also means that'll be the same for buyers, or there could be fewer buyers out there or more careful buyers perhaps.
I think more careful buyers is maybe the right way to think about it, because a company could certainly take advantage of this opportunity to go out and look at some of these assets that are coming to market. But the time increase on the due diligence side would certainly be from the buyer's aspect. So just increasing the level of diligence that they're doing for any potential deal doesn't necessarily mean deals won't get done, but it could delay the timing for which those deals happen.
Thank you. And could you talk through this kind of dichotomy in your research that there are few divestments announced, but there's a high volume of them?
Yes, absolutely. So actually, the first 3 months of 2025 saw the fewest corporate divestitures announced in the US in any start to a year in the last decade. But the deal volume was the highest first quarter deal volume that we've seen since 2022. So we're seeing fewer but larger deals. And there's been an increase both in 2024 and headed into 2025 in divestitures valued between that $1 billion and $5 billion range. So it's really an increase in perhaps willingness among companies to make some of these bold portfolio decisions. that could potentially be disrupted by tariffs. It's a little too early to say at this point. We actually had the largest divestiture of the year get announced post-Liberation Day, a fintech deal in Global Payments agreeing to buy Worldpay for $24.25 billion. So it's definitely the largest deal of the year. But the carve-out portion of that is that Global Payments is actually selling its issuer solutions business back to FIS for $13.5 billion. So that all happened after Liberation Day. And it's really too soon to say if deals will start to slow because of this uncertainty or if some of these big deals are still going to go through.
Okay. And I would like to have a look in a bit more detail at two sectors. Fintech we'll come back to in a moment. But aerospace and defense, it's a really hot sector in Europe at the moment because of this renewed focus on defense spending, with countries like Germany looking to hugely increase their defense spending for the first time in decades. Can you give us the picture in the US and how carve-outs are likely to be impacted or are already being impacted?
Absolutely. So the aerospace and defense segment has seen a couple of pretty significant deals already this year. And it's clear that buyers will still pay for high-quality assets. We saw Leggett & Platt's sale announcement of its aerospace business to Tinicum, and that ended up being around a 9 to 10 times EBITDA multiple. We also saw Boeing sell its Jeppesen navigation unit for a price that ultimately was significantly higher than first reported because there was so much interest in the asset. Emerging Market has also reported that Stanley Black & Decker is considering divesting its consolidated aerospace manufacturing unit, which it bought back in 2020. So there just is a lot of activity in and around that space. Though I will say that tariffs could have an effect on some deals, especially perhaps for manufacturing-related assets.
And looking at another sector, you mentioned earlier about this big deal in the fintech sector with Global Payments agreeing to buy Worldpay. Can you talk about the wider sector? Are the deals taking place? Is it expected to be one of the hot sectors for this year?
I think it is, and not just in corporate divestitures, but fintech in some ways is a little protected from the tariff uncertainty. People are going to make payments. They might be making smaller payments, but they still have to pay for things. Companies still have to pay for things as well as consumers. And that continues the activity that these fintech companies will do. It also is around just interest from investors in investment in the space. So these companies are still very attractive assets to own. Because of that, we might see some of the larger fintechs still prune their portfolios. We also might see some take privates. We've seen two take private deals already announced this year in the fintech space. And, you know, I mentioned the Global Payments Worldpay acquisition from earlier this year. Global Payments is also reportedly seeking buyers for its payroll and active network business. Vista Equity Partners launched the sale of its Finastra Treasury and Capital Markets unit. So there are a lot of processes to follow in the fintech space as well here.
Okay, well, that feels like a nice positive note to end on. Rachel, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Rachel Stone, who is the Charlottesville Bureau Chief. And just to point out, we're recording this on Monday, the 12th of May. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.